The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Again, say good morning to your neighbor, to the left, and to the right. So today, we are in the second part of Todos o Nada. Todos o Nada. If you missed last week, you're like, what's that? What language is that? That is Spanish for all or nothing. All or nothing. Todos o Nada. Todos o Nada, part two. Holy words, long preserved for our work in this world, a resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient word words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us. Amen. Luke 14:33. We're going to read Luke 14:33. I mean, if you sometimes, you see, when people say that they are Christians, sometimes, you know, we wonder, are we really Christians? Or are we joking? Do we even really know what it is to be a Christian? What Jesus said about being his follower can be very mind-boggling in different times. Sometimes it is actually very questionable if we are followers of Jesus. Jesus makes statements that I'm like, did you really say that, Lord? Do you really mean that? Was it just you're trying to get people's attention, or was it actually what you meant? And of course, you know, God means what he says. He says what he means. And the word of God is forever settled. In Luke 14, 33 is one of such. And Jesus is saying, so therefore, any one of you, if there's no pre-qualification, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an archbishop, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're an usher, whether you're a keyboardist, whether you're in a choir, whether you are any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I'm like, ooh. Now, anything that is more precious to you than following God, than the kingdom of God, than the things of God, disqualifies you from being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And that is so interesting. You know, the scripture that if a man, he that lays his hands on the plow and looks back, is unfit for the kingdom of God. Laying your hands on the plow means you've started to plow. Plowing is walking. You're walking the assignment of the kingdom. And you look back. It does not say he that lays his hands on the plow and abandons the plow. I would have thought that would have been appropriate. So if you are plowing and you abandon the plow, then you are not serious. But what it says is, if you are plowing, your hands are still on the plow, and you glance back, you look back, chew, not fit. You will be fit for the kingdom in the name of Jesus. You will be fit for the work that God has called you to in the name of Jesus. And this message challenges us to live an uncompromising, wholehearted, committed life for Jesus. Most people will not come to church if there's no prayer against their enemies and all their enemies to fall down and die. Most people will not come for meetings until there's something that will make them have a breakthrough. But following Jesus is about all or nothing. You love him. You follow him. You are committed to him or forget about it. And that is what he's saying. So religion, the fact that you can tick Christianity in your in the forms that you feel as your religion, doesn't make you a Christian. The fact that you come to church, it could be a habit. It doesn't make you a Christian. What's the value of coming to church? And at the end of the day, Jesus says to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. What's the value? What's the value? You know, people talk about astringent things, you know. Things that do not even apply. And there's a laundry list of such. What's the value? God wants you to be in a place of all for him and nothing for the world. It's all or nothing. It is totals or nada. A place where nothing holds you back, where nothing holds you bound, where nothing keeps you back from the kingdom of God. So, all what? It's an invitation. All dash is an invitation that God has for you and I to come into the fullness of the life that he has for us. You know, the truth is that you are as powerful as you are surrendered. You are as powerful as you are surrendered. You are as powerful in the things of God as you allow God to use you. Let's do plain speak. As you allow God to use you. You have your ideas. You have your experiences. You have your pains. You have the path that you would love to take. You have, in fact, you have what you want people around you to do. Many people, they won't admit that they are control freaks. You want what people around you, you want them to, what you know what you want them to do, but God also has something for everybody to do. You are as powerful as you allow God's will and not yours. Yeah, you have your ideas about your work. You have your ideas about your finances. But God also has his idea. All what? All what? All dash. The first is all in. It's an all in investment. It's like if you're with a group of guys and there's an opportunity, you know, and you have people that have some skin in the game, you know, they are not completely committed to that transaction or to that deal. When people have skin in the game, or when they are all in, they are very powerful people. They drive the enterprise because they have skin in the game. So the first all is all in. All in investment. You are invested. You are all in. Remember the story in Matthew 13:45 to 46. It says that again, the story of the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovers a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, someone that is an entrepreneur, that is a trader, that is a merchant looking for opportunities. And finds a pearl of inestimable value and sells everything. All in investment. If your discovery of the kingdom does not cause you to jump all in, you have not discovered the kingdom. They are still forcing you to church. They are still guilt-tripping you about the things of God. If your discovery of the kingdom, if what you claim to have discovered to be the kingdom of God does not propel you to dive all in, to sell everything, literally, and buy that pearl of inestimable value, it's questionable that you have found the kingdom. It's questionable that you have found the kingdom. The kingdom of God does not require coercion. The kingdom of God does not require trickery. Or it's possible that people have found the kingdom, but they don't know it's the kingdom. You know, sometimes the kingdom of God is amongst you and you don't know it. Sometimes God is doing an amazing work in your life and around you, but you have no clue. You will have insight in the name of Jesus. The kingdom demands, it demands all. It demands all. Because when you discover God's treasure, It's time to invest every piece of your heart. Every piece of your heart. Remember that we were saying last week, you said you want to marry the guy and you have to buy, give him credit, airtime for him to call you. You have not found your husband, my sister. You have not. Because if you have, the man will sell his shoes to call you, literally. I mean, figuratively, rather. The point is that when something is precious, when the things of God are precious, you don't need, I mean, which is why, praise God for God's favorite house. Praise God for people in God's favorite house. I have friends that are like, how are you doing it? How are you raising money? Give me, what teaching? I want to see that teaching you did that people are giving. I'm like, the teaching is the kingdom. When people discover the kingdom, the sacrifice, by the grace of God, we are in South Africa, we're in Johannesburg, we're in Cape Town, we are in Canada, London, Ontario, we are in Costa Rica, Santo Domingo, San Jose, we are in Colombia, Bogota, we are in Paraguay, Ascension, and the other city, we are in Argentina, Buenos Aires, we are in, recently, in Panama, Panama City. It takes a lot of resources to expand the kingdom. And we don't come and beg and twist people. And no, people give. God's favorite house is the best church on earth. I mean, I'm not saying it as a spite to any church. No. I'm just saying that you guys are amazing. The truth is that for many of the things that we do, we don't need to twist people or coerce or try and make people feel guilty. We present the kingdom and people buy into the kingdom. And that is how you know people have received the word. People have received the kingdom. You know, when we're buying the land, this land that we are in, you know, there's several people came to me like that, actually. But I remember one lady, but there was so people came and said, Pastor, when did you raise this money? Hundreds and hundreds of millions of, you know, when did you raise this money? I've been coming to this church for 6 months. One lady said, I've not heard you raise any building offering. How did we raise this money? You don't want us to be blessed, Pastor. And she gave. She says, no, my money is going to be inside. That's someone that has found a kingdom. She said, my money is going to be inside. You are not asking us. Don't you want us to be blessed? It's not that we don't want to be blessed. If we have money for what the work, we use it. We don't need to come and squeeze you for money. God is raising a people with understanding, and you are a part of them in the name of Jesus. Don't just window shop for heaven. Sell all to buy in. Sell all to buy in. Why? Because heaven's prize is worth every sacrifice. Go all in. Go all in. Go all in. For instance, we are fasting. I've not seen a church that is excited about fasting like God's Favorite House. We are fasting by God's grace. And people are excited. Oh, do we know that there are some people that are not fasting? They are with us? Look straight. Just look straight. We know. But the point is, they have not discovered the kingdom. Because when you do, you don't need anybody to supervise you fasting. Why? You press into God. You press into God. How can this kind of opportunity miss you, pass you by, of pressing into the things of God, of loving God, of getting mileage spiritually? Of course, the byproduct. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things will be added to you. Meanwhile, people are chasing all the things. They are chasing breakthrough, chasing all their enemies falling down and dying, face chasing this and chasing that, and trying to use God to acquire those things. Meanwhile, God says, seek me. Seek me. So the first is all in investment. All in investment. Todos. O nada. Todos. O nada. All or nothing. Number two. All consuming surrender. All what? All consuming surrender. Abraham, classic example. All consuming surrender. In Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, it says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendant will be counted. Whoa! So, I mean, he had two sons. And God said, Isaac, give me Isaac. Give me Isaac. Now, listen. The word of God says that Abraham, who had received God's promises, he received the promises of God himself. God says, in Isaac shall your seed be. That's what he said. Yet, God says, give me Isaac. I want to take Isaac. And Abraham says, I have all consuming surrender, Lord. I am all in. I am all in. I am all in. You know, for some people, when God even comes close to their Isaac, we warn him. We warn him. If you try it, you will know the kind of son that you have. If you try it, you know the kind of daughter that you have. Are you all in? Are you really all in? Or is it let God's will be done? Surrendering and knowing that God has your best interest. And the Bible says that Abraham trusted God in spite. So he would look crazy. In spite of how he looked, he trusted God. You can't walk with God if you don't trust him. As we walk with the Lord, in the light of his words, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his goodwill, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
For there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. God demands all. Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. Why? Because true surrender is giving God everything, even when it breaks your heart. True surrender is giving God everything, even when it breaks your heart. Giving God everything, even when you disagree with the outcome. Giving God everything, even when you look like an idiot. Giving God everything. That is true surrender. True surrender is not holding everything back from God and saying, or just giving God chill and saying, oh, wear nice suit, nice ghillie on Sunday and come and dance and say, oh, we are the Christians and everyone is looking at you. You know the story of when they were giving offering and Jesus stood by the offering box and is watching. Do you know that Jesus watches your offering? He watches what you give. Because why is it important to him? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That's why it's important. It's your heart that is important to him. If you cannot give your treasure, don't claim that your heart is with him. So what he was supervising was the heart condition of everybody that came to church. So everybody was giving. They were giving. And as they were giving, he said, ask the disciples, who gave the most? Not the people that gave the $1 million. It's the woman that gave a mite. Why? Because the value of what you give is determined by the value of what you have left. The value of what you give is determined by the value of what you have left to God. So someone that has $100 million and gives $10 million. Oh, fantastic. Praise God. Correct? God bless him. God bless her. $10 million is a lot, if you say. But that's 10%. Someone that has 100,000 naira and gave 50,000 naira. Who gave more? The person that gave 50,000 naira. So it is not equal giving. It should be equal sacrifice. So for the person that has 100 million to match the sacrifice of the person that has 100,000, that person will have to give. I know you know the math. The point is this. When God calls, you should answer with total surrender. Not half measures. No half measures allowed. Don't answer God with half measures. Answer with total surrender. I was a total surrender. All what? Number three. All what? All. So we've seen all in investment. We've seen all consuming. All consuming surrender. All what? All out. All out love. And you see, and this is the example of Jesus himself that shows us what it is to be all in. All out love. All out love. Philippians chapter 2. I mean, it's so beautiful. Verses 6 to 8. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. It says, though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Wow. All out love. All out love. Jesus showed us he couldn't have done half measure. Do you think half measure sacrifice will have saved your soul? If Jesus says, oh, I don't want to die, you know, just beat me small. Give me some strokes. And after they give him, try, say yeah. When they are bringing someone, Jesus begins to run. escape. Peter opened the door. Jesus jumped. It's an action film. Yeah. What if he has escaped? He could have. Remember, he said he could have commanded legions of angels. They were still at his command. What made the sacrifice of Jesus beautiful is that he could have escaped the cross, but he did not. What made the sacrifice of Jesus beautiful is that he could have delivered himself, but he did not. Don't deliver yourself. Allow God. The abusing is okay, take it. Allow God. Allow God. Praise the name of the Lord. Allow God. Jesus could have escaped the cross. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. An escaped Savior is not good enough for your salvation. It has to be all or nothing. Todos o nada. Todos o nada. And he demonstrated that for us. He let all his divine privileges go. Many times, if you look at workplace, marriage, relationships, the key thing is privileges. That's all. Jesus is all out. He went all out with his love. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the ultimate act of all out love. Jesus didn't hold back. He didn't hold back. His love was all out and all in for you. Your love should be and will be all out and all in for Jesus, in Jesus' name. The cross is the ultimate all or nothing moment in history. The ultimate all or nothing moment in the history of humanity is the cross of Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated to us that, listen, I am not just asking all or nothing. I'm going to lead the way in all or nothing. I'm going to lead the way in all or nothing. I know it's possible to sacrifice and people don't appreciate it. It's possible. Even there are people today that still don't appreciate Jesus. He sacrificed, but people don't appreciate him. As a wife, as a husband, in your relationships, it's possible that you've done your best, possible human best. But your spouse won't appreciate you. They still don't. It's okay, because Jesus, he showed us that it's possible to do it and not be appreciated. And the key thing is this. That's why it says, for all that receive him, to them. So, for those that appreciate him, to us he gave the power to become the sons of God. So when you are all or nothing in appreciation of Jesus, you receive the power to become the son of God. The reason people are powerless and their lives are empty is because they are not all or nothing. They are not all, they are playing games. They are playing games. If Christ went all out on your behalf, on our behalf, how much more should we live with all our hearts? If he did, he went all out. So we're not crazy people. You can't love Jesus too much. Someone that gave you everything, if you love him with everything, deide, as in appropriate, you need to realize, with God, it is todos o nada. Everyone say, todos o nada. Todos o nada. It is all or nothing. All or nothing. And he showed us the way. So we've seen all in. all in investment. We've seen all consuming surrender. We've seen all out love. And finally, number four, we are looking at all for community. Jesus leads the way. All in investments, he has skin in the game. He had skin in the game. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we were healed. He was crucified. He showed us all in. All consuming. Surrender. Abraham shows us all consuming surrender. And Jesus shows us all out love. All out love. And it is all for community. It is all for community. Jesus died for the church. He did all that for the church. It is all for community. And the radical, the early church, I mean, it shows us what radical fellowship is. When you live all for community. Acts chapter 4, Acts 4, 32 to 35 says, Acts 4, 32 to 35 says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own. Oh, we come back here. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully. You see, when you are all in, power follows. Power follows. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The reason people are powerless is because they are not all in. When you are all in, power follows. Power flows. And God's great blessing was upon them. Power will flow through you. Power will follow you. And God's great blessing will be upon you in the name of Jesus. Upon them all. There were no needy people among them. There will be no needy people among us. Because those who owned land and houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. In the early church, everything was shared. And the key thing is this, they felt that they owned nothing. They felt that what they owned was not their own. You see, how many cars can a man drive? You have 10 cars. You say, I want to drive. I'm driving 5 of my cars to work today. You drive one from your house to your estate gate. You run back home. You pick the other one. You drive to, let's say you live where? You drive to, let's say you live after Ajah bus stop, for instance. You drive to Ajah bus stop. Then you run home. You take the third car. You drive to church. Then you run home. It is madness. How many beds can a man sleep in? You have 20 luxurious beds in your house. Oh, hallelujah. God has been good. You want to sleep on all the bed in one night. You sleep from 9, let's say you sleep at 9 p.m. By 10, you are waking up. You are running to the other room. You are sleeping. You are It's how many shirts can a man wear? You have designer shirts that you have not even worn. You say, I need to wear at least 5 today. And you wear 5 shirts together and you come to church. That speaks of something is wrong somewhere. They felt that what they owned was not their own. When we begin to feel that what we own is not our own, we begin to see the need of the people around us. And we begin to take care of the people around us. It's so powerful. That's how God wants us to live. I know. There was a time that I said to, way back, Red Bricks Building, I said to all my guys, I said, go and write a will. Everybody, everything you have, they are selling it. We are giving it to people. People looked at me like, yay. How did I join this kind of church? While there are other churches that are just praying, oh, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. We ended up not doing it. But it's something that has always been on my mind. And we see it modeled here. Why? Because when believers unite, they become an unstoppable force. Truly, all in for the kingdom. We are truly all in for the kingdom. Now, listen. We said we are fasting. Let's just take that as an example. You know, it's easy to get defensive when it's money. You know, once you talk about finances, people get defensive. Of course, probably because of how it has been abused in the past. Maybe. We are fasting. All for community. We are fasting together as a church. Some people are eating. They're not fasting. They say, let the spiritual ones fast. Let us go and make the money. Let's go make the money. You know, let's those ones, you know, that their schedule are not very, let them fast. Just an example. Beginning from tomorrow night, we are going to be having daily vigils. We are going to be praying mini vigils because we know people need to go to work. We all need to go to work. So it's going to not be a full vigil. It's going to be from 11 to 3. Mini vigils. Now, we're going to have mini vigils. Monday to Friday. Are you all in? Are you all in? Is it half-leg? Or you are already calculating? I will join by Wednesday. By Wednesday. So I just do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then we come for God during the service. Are you all in? Are you all in? All in. All in for and all for community. All for community. God wants us to be a powerful people. You know, by the grace of God, it's a movement that is what God is doing with us. It's noiseless, as it were. But it's effective. It's effective. We see God's hand on our churches. We see God's hand. God's doing an amazing thing in Cape Town. In Johannesburg. Well, I believe Cape Town too. But in Johannesburg, God is doing an amazing thing. In Canada, London, Ontario, God is doing an amazing work. In Dallas, God is doing an amazing work. In Panama, that we were last week, amazing work. And guess what? It's all flowing from us here in HQ. Hallelujah. God is on the move. The kingdom of God is upon you. Are you all in or are you all out? Ask your neighbor. Todos o nada. Don't say all or nothing. Don't ask them in English. I want to ask your neighbor. Todos o nada. Now you need to ask with attitude. You know, the Spanish people are very expressive people. The Spanish speaking people, the Latin American people, they are very expressive people. So you're going to say, todos unada. Ask them, are you all in? It's all or nothing. It's todos unada. And I want to pray two categories of people. The second category are those that you've been a Christian, but you are seeing that you are not all in, and you want to be all in. We are going to pray with you. We are going to pray with you. But the first category is that you are not even a Christian. You have been coming to church, but you know you are not all in for Jesus. Jesus is not all. You're like, Jesus used to be all, but he's not all now. Can I also join? Yes, you can. I want to surrender. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, that is you. Put up your hand now over your head. Put it up over your head, over your head, over your head.
Yes, we want to see that hand up. If you know that, yes, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. That's the very first step that you need to first stage you need to start from. And you want to give your life to him right now. I want you to just raise up your hand wherever you are. Because we want to pray with you before we now move to the second category. So you have not saved. You have never been given your life to Christ. Or maybe you have given your life to Christ in the past, but you have backslid. You know, you yourself know that if Jesus were to come today, you would not go with him. I want to give you that opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to accept him into your life. So just raise up your hand wherever you are. I want to see you. I want to give you a card. That's all you need to do. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. Raise it up boldly so that the ushers can see you. Yes, yes, yes. This is the opportunity that you've been waiting for, to turn to Jesus. To turn to Jesus. It's todos or nada. You can't, there's no halfway. There's no halfway. Just turn to Jesus. Raise up your hand wherever you are and raise it up boldly. Now, I want to pray for the second category of people also. We're going to pray for both of you too. But the second category are those that, yes, you know that you are saved. You know that you are born again. But you have not been all or nothing. We're going to pray for grace right now to be able to release ourselves fully. I just want you to put your hands on your chest, wherever you are. Just put your hands on your chest and we'll pray together. Just put your hands on your chest. You know that, yes, you are saved. You know God, but you have been... Would I use the regular word in Nigeria? You are like half current. You are not full current. You've been behaving like NEPA. But today you want all of that to change. Just put your hand on your chest and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that as many of us that are here that are making up our minds to begin an all or nothing walk with you, the Lord, the grace to do this, you'll give to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've read in your word that your followers, they looked at all that they had as if it was not their own, because they knew that it was all about you and not about them. Father, the grace to walk in such a manner as your followers give to all of us in the name of Jesus. Those of us that are specifically saying we want to go all out, Father, no one comes to you without you drawing them near. We ask that you draw us nearer to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us in our walk with you. Help us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray those that don't even know you at all, that are sitting here or maybe online, giving their lives to Christ right now. Father, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you touch everyone in the name of Jesus. Oh, let our lives be transformed radically from today in the mighty name of Jesus. This word that we have heard today, Lord, let it land on fertile ground in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, let it stir up a new awakening in us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, even for everyone that has heard this word. We will be all or nothing Christians in the name of Jesus. Our walk, Lord, with you will give you joy in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that causes stress, that makes our walk with you to be difficult for us, Father, will take away the difficulty and it becomes easy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.